Let's head out to Indy here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and check in with Daryl Ryder, who's been out in Indy all week long. Daryl, how is it over there in Colts country?
The days are long, the nights are longer.
But you did build a fort, so, I mean, that has to be pretty cool.
It was all right.
Now, let me ask you this, because I had Fedor on last year, and he was, I don't know where it was, Toronto or somewhere on the road. Do you take advantage of the hotel breakfast?
Well, I don't have a hotel breakfast here, so I take advantage of the breakfast at the convention center.
Okay, all right. Because he's one of those guys that, you know, it's free there in front of him, but, you know, he doesn't even dive into it, which made zero sense. But I thought a veteran like you would take full advantage of what was made available.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If it's available, yeah, I'm all in.
All right, Daryl Ryder joining us from the Combine in Indy, and it's been a eventful week for him. John Dorsey spoke this week. Freddie Kitchen spoke this week. It's maybe a little bit different for you, Daryl, this year when you're not chasing a top five pick. So how has your week gone so far with the Browns currently down right now at 17 as the draft is approaching next month?
It was entertaining watching everyone else fawn over Kyler Murray's 5'10" stature and crowding around Dwayne Haskins, and I'm like, yeah, well, that was me for the last 20 years.
Right.
But, you know, it is a little different. You know, the Browns obviously picking 17. There's a lot of teams in front of them, so you can't just say, hey, they're zeroing in on this one particular player, because, well, that one particular player might not even be on the board when they have an opportunity to pick. So it's been a little bit different from a coverage standpoint from me, because, again, we're not obsessing and focusing on all these quarterbacks.
So now what are you obsessing on? When you went there, what are you looking for? I mean, I know the defensive linemen and linebackers will work out tomorrow in Indy with corners coming up on Monday. So what are you, when you left here driving to Indy, what were you thinking about? And when you got there, what is your area of need that you have to see while you're there?
Well, I mean, today's going to be a pretty important day. Going to get an opportunity to talk to those defensive linemen later this afternoon when they start rolling them into the media center, because I ultimately think that that's where the Browns are going to go with their first pick, whether it's 17 or higher or lower than that. So, and it's a major need. You know, they need a defensive tackle in the middle of that defensive line. They also need to upgrade the linebackers. They need to depth the corner. But the most of the work that I think John Dorsey needs to do this offseason is on the defensive side of the football. I think that they're pretty well set, minus possibly adding a big play wide receiver. You know, they're pretty well set on the offensive side. You got all five offensive linemen coming back now that Greg Robinson has been re-signed. He added Kareem Hunt to the mix, so now you got three running backs back there. That, you know, that'll be a crowd until Hunt's allowed to play, and they'll trade Duke Johnson. So I think that they're outside of receiver. They're set on offense.
And now, you brought up Kareem Hunt. So let's go that direction. How has that been received there in Indy? I know both Kitchens and John Dorsey had to talk about it in their media sessions earlier this week, but with the other media around, how is that perceived there in Indy as the Browns giving Kareem Hunt that second chance?
Well, I mean, they fielded a lot of questions about Kareem Hunt. Most of them, not from us, because we've already talked to them about it. So, it is interesting. I had someone tell me it's interesting that the Browns were able to sign a guy and were comfortable with all the information they had, yet they didn't talk to the Kansas City Chiefs, they didn't talk to the victim, and their investigation got wrapped up long before the NFL's investigation has. So there's a little skepticism there about the move and surprise that it came so quickly, but not so much from the standpoint that obviously John Dorsey has the previous relationship with him, having scouted and then drafted him in 2007.
And I know this is just going to be a guess on your part, but from what you've been able to gather, like what is the expectations for a suspension that we should see? Is it 4 games, 6 games, 8 games? What have you heard, or maybe even your educated guess on that?
No one knows.
Okay.
I mean, I can't even give you an educated guess. Nobody knows that, you know, that was something I was trying to investigate here because everyone in the league is here,
right,
minus the commissioner. But, you know, just, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what kind of a suspension are we looking at? Are we looking at 6 games, which is the domestic abuse a policy guideline? Are we looking, even though this was not a domestic abuse situation, but just, you know, trying to figure out, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, the level of the suspension. So I think it's unfair to speculate at this point what he's going to get, but no one seems to really know right now what the league's going to come up with.
Daryl Ryder, 92.3, the Fan beat reporter for the Cleveland Browns, joining us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. And I know a lot was made, I believe it was yesterday, DK Metcalf, the wide receiver. Obviously, the last name rings here in Cleveland a lot. So just your thoughts on meeting with him. And I know the big controversy this week, at least here in Cleveland, how was he related to Eric Metcalf? And I know you have an article up on the website about that as well.
Yeah, they're apparently cousins. That's what he said yesterday, because he was asked specifically what the relationship to Eric Metcalf, the former Brown, was. But he comes from, a nice lineage of football players. You got Eric and Terry Metcalf, cousins. Terry Metcalf from the late 70s, early 80s fame. Eric with the Browns, and then his father, Terrence Metcalf, who played for the Chicago Bears and was on their Super Bowl team, the one that in 2006 lost to the Indianapolis Colts and Peyton Manning. So he comes from a wealth of football genetics, and he is a physical specimen. I think he would be the one player that might make David Njoku and Myles Garrett jealous when it comes to physique. Because he is a chiseled sculpture, that's for sure. And he's big. He set a combine record for like the longest wingspan for a wide receiver. He fits the prototype. All that stuff's great. He ain't gonna be there at 17. He's gonna be long gone. And I don't think that he's gonna end up being a target for the Browns. It's a nice connection, a fun story. He's also coming off a neck injury that he's been medically cleared for about a month now that he's been cleared from that. But like I said, the good, fun story, something relatable for Browns fans. But the reality is he probably is not going to be a Cleveland Brown for a multitude of reasons. He's not going to be on the board. And again, I feel that the Browns are going to try and address their defensive line first and foremost in the draft.
Absolutely. And we have free agency just around the corner. The Browns have almost $80 million in cap space. So how active do you think John Dorsey will be once the calendar year opens, the league year opens for the NFL? We know last year making three trades, making multiple moves right around the time that the season opens. So with that kind of money, with knowing the holes that he has both offensively and defensively, how active do you think John Dorsey will be again this year?
Yeah, well, you know, they're going to, Dorsey's already been active. You know, the groundwork for free agency gets laid here in Indianapolis this week. He's also got some internal team business he's trying to take care of. Rashad Perryman, he's had meetings with Drew Rosenhaus here in Indianapolis trying to get that done. It's my understanding that those talks haven't really produced anything material. He was supposed to yesterday meet with Buzz Cook. He's the agent of Jamie Collins, because I think Jamie Collins' days with the Browns are numbered if Collins does not restructure his contract. That meeting was pushed back to today. So, so Dorsey's been busy here in Indianapolis, not just scouting football players, but also, you know, trying to handle some team business and also set himself up for March 11, when he can start negotiating freely with some of these free agents. Then, of course, the new league year kicks in at 4 p.m. on the 13th. Wouldn't surprise me to see him make a trade or two either.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where we're at with the excitement of how the second half of the season went into 2019. And I don't remember the last time I was on, Daryl. I don't think I had you on. So let me ask you it this way. And if I already asked you this, well, you'll just have to answer it again. But is this the most winnable in your eyes that the AFC North has been since the Browns have come back, with what is happening over in Pittsburgh, with Baltimore trying to make their moves to improve their team, now handing it over to Lamar Jackson, and the Bengals are still what they are with the Bengals? Is this the year that this is the most winnable option for the Cleveland Browns since they've returned?
Yeah, I would say so, but I'm not going to rule out the Pittsburgh Steelers until the Browns beat them on the field. That organization, regardless of whatever's going on with them, they always find a way to be there. So yeah, they it's winnable, no question about it. They are the Browns right now. They're the trendy pick. Everyone's talking about them making the playoffs and winning the division next year, or I should say later this year, the 2019 season. But I think it's premature. I think that the Browns have a talent gap that they still need to close. It's just not as wide as it used to be. They got to get deeper. They got to get faster. They got to get stronger. And also, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle those expectations. Freddie Kitchens talked about it this week. He embraces the expectations. That being said, it's one thing to embrace the expectations. It's another to actually perform with those expectations. And that is something that, my God, we got to go back to what, 2008? Mm-hmm. The last time we expected the Browns to do anything on a field. And, if memory serves me correctly, they finished 4-12. Braylon Edwards cut his foot getting stepped on at practice in training camp. That was the famous Romeo Kids Will Be Kids. That was the bleep you go root for Buffalo email from Phil Savage. Everyone got fired after they went 4-12, and it began the vicious cycle of what the franchise had been stuck in ever since. So this really is the first time, I think, since 2008 there's been legitimate expectations for this team to possibly make the playoffs.
I'm still waiting until I have enough behind me to be able to send one of those emails like Phil Savage to somebody. That's what I'm waiting for.
You want to know the true story of this? Okay. So that night, because I was in Buffalo that night, and Phil Savage was sitting behind me, and he was sitting next to someone, and the entire game they talked about Bible verses. It was like Bible study the entire game. And then later that night, we find out Phil fires off that email to an angry Browns fan. Oh, boy, those were the days.
Yes, those were the days. So last thing I have for you, if there was a Cleveland Browns media combine, who would win that? I was talking with Fred Greetham a little bit earlier. He doesn't think he could put up 225 anymore, but yeah. I told him I think Mary Kay could probably get it up at least once. So, if there was a scouting combine for the Browns media that follows them daily, and you've got to know these people over the last 20 years. So who would win the Cleveland Sports Media NFL Combine?
This is easy. Scott Petrak or Tom Withers.
Okay.
They are the two most athletic people in the group, and I would put my money on them.
Now, would you have a sub-6 40 time?
I would come close. That might be the only thing I have is that I have a little burst. I have a little speed to me. I'll sneak up on you. But other than that, I'd probably finish dead last.
All right. Well, maybe we're going to set that up for next year. But more importantly, you have a bunch of articles that will be coming out later today. You'll head back over to the combine, to the stadium, and the linemen will talk today. So I'm sure we'll have a bunch of articles coming up on 92.3 The Fan later this afternoon.
Yeah, there'll be plenty for people to peruse. Like I said, the linemen are in today. Tomorrow it's corners and DBs. So now the important part of the combine really starts. We're past what John Dorsey and Freddie Kitchens had to said. Now we can kind of start zeroing in on some of these players.
Really, the important part of the combine is where you're going to dinner later. So make sure you get that settled first, and then have a safe trip back here, and we'll talk to you again soon.
You got it, Gene.
There he is, Daryl Ryder, the 92.3 The Fan Browns beat reporter, joining us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, giving us his thoughts on the Browns, on his fort, and on places to eat. And, of course, Cleveland media members, NFL scouting combine, which I think we're going to have to put together next year. I think I'm going to start working on that now, give me a full calendar year to put that one together.